A garage band named Chad Allen and the Expressions came up with this great sound back in 1965. The song is Shaken All Over. That was before the band changed their name to the Guess Who. You might remember that tune. We're talking with Tom DeLonge of Angels and Airwaves and Blink-182 about his project Secret Machines. And we're getting into the good stuff about these people from behind the scenes that he met who've been sharing information with him. I guess the obvious questions, how do we know they're telling him the truth? How do we know that this stuff can be verified? And where is it all leading? What effect does this have on the push for full disclosure on the UFO topic? We'll get into all of that and more in this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Tom, before the break, I mentioned that your pitch you were making to these folks as you move from one source to the next up the food chain, so to speak, your pitch gets better. And what is the basic message? What are you telling them that you can offer that hasn't been offered to them before?
I think for the first time, somebody coming in that has a pretty serious academic background on the subject of the UFO phenomenon, somebody that also has, you know, a recognizable name and a specific type of voice that speaks to a specific demographic, also somebody that comes in with you know, tremendous amount of respect and modesty when with dealing with these guys. I'm not just some kind of Hollywood prick, you know. I'm treating the material the way it needs to be treated, at least with my first conversations with these guys. And then lastly, you know, once they gave me a little bit, I executed exactly the way I said I would. And I think that kept building in their minds, you know, a great case to work with me.
So they dribbled something out to see how you'd handle it?
They did. They would dribble it out, and I would say, you know, I would take it, I would incorporate it, I would make sure that I run everything by them like I said that I would. I would tell them that when, you know, I would say, you know, that we're doing this piece of nonfiction. Here's the first couple chapters. Remember, I told you I was doing that. Or here, the novel. You know, we talked about the novel. I want you to read the first part of the novel. Sir, is it okay if I do it this way or this? And it just kept going and going and going. And then, you know, what really, I think, clinched it was, you know, actually, I should back up here. When I got connected to the general, that was a big, big breakthrough. And before I talk a little bit more about how I got, you know, I got more trust from these guys, what happened was I was up at NASA Ames. You know, I got connected to a very specific person, and that person had me fly out and meet them. So this is where it gets really interesting. So I go out to a certain city, and I land at the airport, and I walk through security, and I meet this person. The person takes me to a restaurant that's right past security, and I go to the back of the restaurant. There's nobody in that area, and we sit at a booth for 2 hours. And while we're sitting there, he leans across the table, and this is the very first words that were said to me. It was the Cold War, and every single day we lived under the threat of nuclear war. Every single day we believed and really thought in the deepest part of our souls that nuclear war could happen at any given moment. And then he stops and he goes, and somewhere in those years, and he looked me in the eye, he goes, we found a life form. And everything that we did and every decision that we made with that life form was because of the consciousness at that time. And I said, sir, you know, when taking into account things that this life form has done, for example, turning our nuclear weapons on and readying them for launch. And then he interrupts me, puts a finger in my face, and says, there are heroes in Russia, heroes. And under grave risk to himself and to his country, they did not fire back. And at that moment, I realized it already started. This new game I was in of working with people in like a dance of words, and information was already coming. There was no like small talk. Like, we didn't just sit down and just say, hey, let's have a beer and let's like get to know each other.
So let's jump back to that conversation. It was the Cold War. I mean, he's given you sort of the setting for how the cover-up, or what we'd call the cover-up, began.
Yeah, so this is very important for people to remember. And this is where I'm so excited to start chopping down all these pathetic conspiracies that I was involved in as well, you know. It was the Cold War. He's saying that every day they really thought about the annihilation of all mankind with these, you know, weapons that were hundreds or thousands of times bigger than what we dropped on Japan, and we had 20,000 each of those things. And all of a sudden, something falls on their laps that's just extraordinary, you know. But even further than that, if you really hear what I'm saying about the nuclear weapons, the UFOs were turning our weapons on, and just so Russia could pick up that we're firing our missiles and fire theirs first. It was a big chess game. So these guys went into complete secrecy to start coming up with a defense system against this phenomenon. Now, you know, I try to tell people some analogies on this. Imagine if someone from the CIA came to your house and sat on your couch and says, "Hey, I want to tell you about that nuclear weapon that they tried to smuggle in through Canada 2 months ago. And I also want to tell you about this, you know, virus that almost got released in Los Angeles. And I want to, you know, all these they're not going to do that, because they're going to be busy trying to figure out how to find the people that did it, or to seal off the borders, or to come up with a game plan to get better defensive measures across our country, and whatever they're doing. That's how this is. That's how big this issue is. They're not worried about if you and I totally understand, because they're too busy trying to understand it and come up with a way to defend against it. And at the same time, they really want people to understand this, to know these things, but they don't want it to mess up their efforts. The more that I started to find out, I thought it was a pretty heroic tale, that these were really good men and women. Do you know that in that first conversation that I had with that general, during the 2 hours, I mean, I didn't even leave the airport. I was in this back booth, and then I'd go to security, get on a plane, go right back home. It was a crazy meeting, but during that, he must have brought up what was best for the quote, best for the republic, best for the free republic. He brought that up probably 8 different times. It's very, very, very important to these men what is best for the United States as a free country, free-thinking man, and the republic that we built. They're not these crazies running around trying to war. They're not warmongers, you know. Very smart. This person has multiple PhDs, and I wish I could tell you who he is and what he. There was nobody above him. There's nobody. Maybe a couple. But when you look at the divisions of how the Department of Defense works, and this specific division, it's just extraordinary that I have this contact. So I started using that as much as I could. So taking it from that point, we talked for 2 hours, and I said, "Sir, I need an advisory committee." And we walked through what I need and why. And so he went out and got the advisors for me. What was really interesting about this is that I started getting advisors that were in different areas, you know, people that deal with space, people that deal with intelligence, people that deal with biowarfare, stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think I should need, but I got them, you know. And now I had the ability to start pulling these people together, and I had this one really interesting contact out in Washington, D.C. that was connected to the highest levels of government. That's how I can say it. And so I was able to pull off a coup in regards to what anybody in this field has ever been able to pull off, which was a conversation with not only my advisors, the most important group of the advisors, and somebody representing basically the highest levels of the land, and talking about how do we do something to help the youth understand that this is a reality, but that they're doing really good work, and they could use the empowerment, they could use these the citizens of the United States and the world understanding why it's been kept secret, and that they're not doing it out of malicious reasons. They're doing it because it's an ongoing task. It's an ongoing issue, and they don't fully understand it yet, but they're trying their hardest and spending lots of money and have the brightest minds that they can find, and they're building things, and they're having breakthroughs that I think, frankly, we would all be incredibly proud of as a nation of what they've done.
Obviously, it's a spin. You know, they're telling you a version that they want told, but it's a story you wanted to tell. It's part of your pitch to them is, look, you guys look bad, especially to young people who think there's been a cover-up on this subject. People are demanding full disclosure. There's a growing movement and a growing call for that. You guys painted yourself into a corner, and it's time to look for a way out, and this is one. So, I mean, obviously, you're concerned that you're being used, aren't you?
Well, you know what? People have asked me that, and I'll say no, and let me tell you why. Because I sought these people out, and I asked them a very direct question, and I get a very direct answer. There is no like, hey, why don't you say this? Have you ever thought of this? And just, I don't get information for no reason at all. It's a very formal approach the way I do things. I'll say, why has it been kept secret? I'll say, in the book, the craft that our pilot character learns how to fly is a real craft. And so I'll say, sir, I need guidance on the science of this, and I will get that answer back, you know. And I never get information that I don't specifically ask for. So this whole project is not meant to sell people on the idea that this should stuff's real. Sorry, I said a bad word. Hopefully we got that delay set up.
Yeah.
Here. I am still me, but I don't go in here and I'm not trying to make this this project convince people of the reality of the phenomenon. I'm doing a project to tell people the reasons it's been kept secret and what has happened, what they're dealing with, you know, the breakthroughs that we had. And I think the specific things that I've always wanted to know, you know, and if I think everybody learns these things, they're going to feel a hell of a lot more proud about our country and about the Department of Defense and what they're doing, because this one subject deals with religion, cosmology, you know, physics, science, secrecy, the way we run our country, the relationships we have with other countries, relationships we have with other countries we're not supposed to have relationships with, but we actually kind of still do because of this issue. And that stuff's empowering. That's really empowering to know, you know, for the whole next generation of people that are going to grow up and take over all these countries when we're all long gone. I think that this kind of subject can unify in so many areas beyond so many other, you know, other subjects that are out there.
Did you get the sense that this group had ever met before, had a sort of the gathering or the conference call, or was in regular communication?
The main, who I refer to as the general, I know has dealings with all these people, most of them out of the 10 at certain times. Some of them know. A few of them I got through different routes. The way I look at it, you know, it's interesting that when you look at the way the government is set up when it goes into subjects like this, and you look at the way it's managed, it makes perfect sense. So, you know, we all grew up in this topic thinking, you know, Majestic 12 and the secret shadow government. It's not really like that. Now, you have groups within the military that are doing R&D, that are coming up with and analyzing intelligence. So, you know, the National Reconnaissance Office will analyze the entire electromagnetic spectrum of space, and they'll see things buzzing around and doing stuff. They take that down. Then, you know, the Air Material Command will, you know, look at that stuff and say, okay, what do we build to defend against that? Then the research labs will say, okay, well, this is how we'll build it. You know, and then the CIA will have a bunch of guys that are just analyzing, you know, abduction reports or cattle mutilations or other things that are happening in the real world. You know, and all these divisions are all doing their own stuff, and there's probably a very, very, very small group of people that are sitting at the top and putting it all together. I was told that I asked a very specific question. I was, sir, this is exactly, you know, it's funny because I talk that way, but I literally said that. I go, sir, is there anybody standing back and looking at the big picture? You have abductions, you have cattle mutilations, you have, you know, spacecraft zipping through orbit, you know, you have these crashes, you have all these things. And at one point it was, no, it's a grab bag of scientists. Nobody's looking at the big picture, which is really interesting to me. Because I wonder if, you know, and I don't know all the answers yet, and I'm still taking my time asking the right questions, but it makes me almost feel like, you know, some crazy things happened back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and we put together a really strong effort to study this stuff, but I think that most of the stuff has been out of reach, so we don't have some major, you know, MJ-12 program per se. I think we have many programs that are dealing with different aspects of this when they happen, when a crash may happen. Let me tell you a conversation I had. So I flew out to Colorado Springs, which is where Air Force Space Command is, and also the Air Force Academy. And I was sitting on the deck of a very highly ranked person, and then we brought in, this is one of my advisors, and then we brought in another advisor that was I'm trying to figure out ways to tell who these guys are, but of the highest rank again. And they said, well, what do you, you know, I said, I'm going to be talking about the crashes in the 40s. There was a pause, and he says, why just the 40s? You know, gets you thinking a little bit. And then they said, well, what do you need? And I said, well, I think I need someone from the Defense Intelligence Agency. And they say, why? And I say, well, you know, I don't want to make anyone angry. I'm not looking to piss anyone off. I'm not looking to ruffle feathers, break a story. I think if I do my project correctly, it'll do good. And they take a pause, and they're looking at me. And now I'm kind of going, well, what did I say wrong? And one guy says, do you go ask your dad for permission after your mother already gave it to you? And I said, no, what do you mean? And then he says, you've been given permission, now shut the F up and get to work. And it was very serious. And I had these two guys, once again, you can count the stars on their shoulders, staring at me, that I realized, oh my God, you know, that's when I realized two other people that I met that were working with me, who they really were, you know, like not just by their rank, but who they really were in context to what the whole UFO subject is. So it's an exciting place to be, but it's a little nerve-wracking.
We mentioned in the beginning about John Podesta. Now, you've interviewed Podesta. That's public information. That's publicly known. I don't know if you're saying that he's one of your advisors, but if so, that would be the only name that has been known. But I wanted to point out, as far as political and partisan connections, he would be the only one linked to any candidate or office holder in your group, right?
John Podesta is in my documentary and my docuseries. I think that he's somebody that everybody needs to watch. That's all I'm going to say.
And like I said before, I have in my mind, you said there's no MJ-12 type organization. I have in my mind a smoke-filled room, and it's like Spectre from the James Bond movie, but there's no meetings. Hey, everybody, let's get together. You're MJ-1, you're MJ-2. That doesn't happen. It's compartmentalization, which is pretty much what you'd expect to happen with a topic like this.
Right. And I'm not going to say that I don't know if there is a group of 12 guys, 10 guys, 20 guys that manage all of it. I haven't asked that specific question yet. I've asked a lot of questions. In the docuseries, you're going to start to see all those. I'm going to start presenting all that stuff and laying it out, you know, in chronological order, and people are going to learn a hell of a lot. But I haven't asked is there a small group that manages this other than what I told you a few minutes ago where I said, you know, is anybody standing back and looking at the big picture? It seems to me that, you know, you got to look, you got to think about this UFO phenomenon.
Hold on a moment, Tom. That's the Foo Fighters. That's what people used to call UFOs before they called them UFOs or UAPs is Foo Fighters. Back with more of Tom DeLonge's disclosures here, including some of the big picture stuff. Who are these visitors? Where are they from? What are they up to? Whatever he can tell us coming up next on Coast to Coast. White Houses, The Animals from 1968. That band's still out touring around. I think they're coming to Las Vegas soon. We're talking with Tom DeLonge about this amazing journey he's on, people he is speaking to in and out of government who are sharing information with him about the inner workings of what we would all characterize as the UFO cover-up. The idea of full disclosure, do we need to know all this stuff? How much does he know? What's the big picture? We're going to get into that in the next segment here on Coast to Coast AM. Tom, as a guy who's followed this topic for a long time, you know about disinformation. You know the history of the topic, how certain researchers have been led to believe that they're about to get some real solid stuff. I think Linda Howe was promised some video of a landing. Robert Emmenegger, his film project years ago, we're going to give you the goods, the video of the landing. We're going to tell you the whole story. You know about the the disinformation in New Mexico, and there are a lot of people don't think that the MJ-12 documents were created as part of a plot to confuse the Russians. How do you know you're not being used or led down a path?
I think that's a good question. Number one, you know, these guys didn't search me out. I haven't had, in my advisory group, I haven't had anybody that just kind of came out of nowhere and says, hey, I really want to give you something. It didn't work that way. It was through really interesting channels of how I met them, and some of which I've built relationships with that are very close and came from very kind of, you know, in very sanitized ways, you know, where I think, you know, people wouldn't suspect that they don't have an interest in lying to me. They're not, if I was working with a big group from the CIA, I would be very weary of it. But all of my guys are, they're the channels that they work in. I should say guys and girls, but the places that they work and the divisions that they work in are more science-based, engineering-based, and defense-based, and something else I can't say. But
they're not necessarily professional spooks who deal with stirring the pot and misleading people.
Exactly.
You know they're real, though. You've checked out the credentials.
Oh, yeah.
You know that they work in the places.
Oh, absolutely, because I've been to the places, and I've, you know, I even attempted to read, I attempted to read something that one of these guys did, and it was like 20 pages of equations that I literally, you would think it's a joke. It was somebody's, is what they did there. When you get your PhD, you got to do your, what do you call it, the dissertation or whatever it's called. I don't know what it's called, but
yeah.
It's insanity, the level of how these guys operate. But I don't want to say they're not in intelligence. It's just the type of the intelligence arm that they're in is not counterintelligence based. It's I don't want to say what it is, but it's space intelligence.
What is the operating agreement? What agreement do you have with them? You don't reveal their names or personal information about them, and do you have to clear the stuff that you release?
Absolutely, and I ask for permission. I'm not going to say who they are. I'm not going to ever put at risk anything that they, and also too, by the way, things they tell me that I have to release a certain way, respectfully, and in drips. Like, you know, I set up a bunch of parameters of how I will put the information into this project and how I will put it out there, so it does a couple things. It doesn't scare people and it gets traction with young adults. That's a very important point.
You know what you're up against, though. People will say, well, look, this guy's a rock musician. they're not going to tell this stuff to him, or they're going to tell him stuff that they have plausible deniability. I mean, part of that is the appeal, right? That if they wanted to, if this goes wrong, they can discredit you or deny it.
Well, they can do that to anybody. I mean, they do that to presidents. You know, they you're talking about you know, levels of power that we can't comprehend as civilians. So I'm not. I frankly, I don't care if anyone you know, doesn't believe me. I'm in the middle of something very important. I just got to do what I said I'll do. But and I think if I do it right, it's going to have some really good effects and hopefully ignite you know, other things that can happen within this discussion. But you know, plausible deniability is something the government has always done, and it's the way they operate, especially when they want to put out very serious information. With this topic, what they've done is they would leak things over the past 60 years and create ridicule for the people that may believe it. That way, everyone kind of hears the stuff. You hear about the Roswell crash, but you're not really scared about it because the chances are it might not be real, but maybe it could be real. You know, but
like Area 51, flying saucers out at S4.
Yeah, exactly. It's all that stuff they want you to know. The reason we talk about it is because they chose for us to hear about it. And the reason we kind of laugh it off is because they, by design, that's how they do it. But they want people to know. They want, you know, they don't like the fact that they have to do all of this without people knowing how, what they're doing and how hard they're working at it. And, you know, what I said to a few of them, I was like, do you know what this would do? It would change who we elect in office. It would change the amount of money we appropriate and allocate to these programs. We'd have the biggest space program that we've ever had, thousands of times bigger than Apollo, and it would be part defense and it would be part exploration, and people would run to be a part of it and help. It'd be like the day after 9/11 where everyone wanted to sign into the military. If people knew what the stakes were, if they just knew what, you know, what these guys are telling me, and once people know this stuff, and if it really caught fire and everyone knew it, that this was real, it would completely be, it would change everything. It would just change everything, how we operate as a country, how we operate in partnership with other countries, and what our civilization is doing. Because don't forget that, yes, we have cracked gravity. And, yes, we are building machinery that have anti-gravity. And, yes, I was told that. It's a big deal.
All right, let's talk about some of the stuff you were told that you can share. The biggest question, who are they? I mean, I said in the introduction that some people in your group refer to them not as aliens or the visitors, they refer to them as the others. Is there significance in using that term?
You know, I don't know the significance of the others. The phenomenon is not used. Aliens is not used. It's the others. And when you're taught, the way it's explained to me is that they are gods, with the little g. So the entire UFO phenomenon is about multiple gods that fight amongst themselves and by design factionalize mankind into different religions to step back and let us fight each other so it has other things that it wants to accomplish and we don't notice them because we're too involved fighting each other. So, and they know that. So our government knows that. Our government knows that the others are instigating war amongst mankind. But the other issue is that these gods from you know, you got to look back at ancient history and all those stories about gods that came down and did this and that, it's all true. So that's the other thing. You got to, and I'll get into that in the docuseries. There's some of that stuff I don't want to get into tonight, but the government is very aware that this intelligence is pitting different countries against each other based on religion on purpose. And it's a scary scenario. So it's like it's a multiple front war that we're fighting because now we have to worry about each other and we have to worry about the others. So that's part of the reason for the secrecy is not to – we don't want everyone knowing our vulnerabilities and we don't want everyone knowing – the advancements we've made to protect everybody against multiple adversaries.
Well, multiple adversaries, some of them being humans, like the Russians. You mentioned earlier an incident that we've reported some of these kinds of incidents. I personally investigated them in Russia about Russian ICBMs being activated after UFOs are over a base that are ready to launch, that somebody else is controlling them. We know that we've had incidents like that in our country. Is it somebody just messing with us?
Yeah, it's absolutely. And the scary thing is, and the way it's been told to me, is that we are trying to keep it secret so we don't, you know, get the conflict. We don't initiate a conflict where other people aren't, quote, considering the manipulations of the others. So it's like this really touchy dance that we've been doing for 60 years, trying to figure out who is being manipulated as a country more than the other. You know, not the others, but we just know that when you look at places, you know, you got to think about this, for example. Now go back to when Bush came out and he's talking about Iran and North Korea and the axis of evil. And that's, you know, that's our government making a blanket statement that they're really concerned about these areas. Then you kind of go deeper into the parts of the government that know about the UFO phenomenon, the ones they call the others, the ones that are influencing countries, the ones that are by design or maybe by accident happening to crash a very advanced piece of technology in the country's borders so they make better weapons to fight bigger wars. And we're not the only ones that have had a crash. Yes. And so when we make big statements about North Korea or big statements about Iran or China, it's because we are aware that those places are being manipulated and have very advanced technologies now. So we're trying to keep everyone calm, you know, and not, you know, initiate a conflict. So we're looking kind of over our left shoulder and our right shoulder. And at the same time, every once in a while, trying to tell everybody about it, but we can't really tell everybody about it. And I think that once people know this stuff, in however, whatever form, if everyone knew all this stuff, like they came out and told everybody this, you know, from the White House, I just think people would want to help. I think people would say, oh my God, you know, it's all been secret for completely different reasons than ego-based reasons. Like, they don't want me to know, or I can't handle it, or they think they're better than me. It's like, it has nothing to do with it. It's an act of war.
So the overall picture that we get, filling in the blanks from what you've said tonight, is that something sort of dropped in our laps back at the beginning of the Cold War. And the same kind of thing seems to have dropped in the laps of maybe the Russians and maybe others.
And, quote, potentially just to see who is stronger. And that's a scary thing. That's, quote, we don't know. But that's what that's literally how these guys have to think. They have
it's like a multi-level chess game or something.
That's exactly what it is. It's a multi-level chess game, and they have to sit back and go, you know, what is the reason they just happen to have had a crash here? What is the reason there's a huge religious war going on right now? You know, what is the reason that all of a sudden, you know, China's defense budget has quadrupled in the past few years? It's all these things. And I think that creates a pretty stressful picture. And the other thing is too, they can't come out and tell everybody that all these religions that are firing all over the planet for the past thousands of years are based off things they saw in the sky. You know, it's like that's gonna hit hard at home for a lot of people. It's gonna be hard to digest.
You know, Charles Fort, the founder of the Fortean movement, he had a statement that he said after all the years of strange stories that he collected, he feels that we're property. And then I remember, just as an adjunct to that, right when I first started chasing these mysteries, there was a book called Gods of Eden by a guy named William Brambley, who wrote it and then just kind of went away, which sort of painted the picture that we are like cattle. We're an agricultural product. If you wanted to know why there might be reasons why some of the big picture is kept from us, I mean, people say they're ready to know the full picture. I'm not sure they are.
Yeah, I don't know if people are either. I do know, and as of 2 weeks ago, you know, we all had suspicions about cattle mutilations being involved with the phenomenon. I do know that, yes, absolutely they are. And, I mean, just a couple of days, they found, you know, whatever, 10 or 20 elk lined up in the snow with all the their jaws cored up and their their genitals all cut out and the blood was missing. And the same exact thing that's been happening for decades. And that's creepy. That's demonic. That's evil, weird, scientific, dark stuff going on. And it's been happening for a very long time. And, you know, I think it would scare people that we might be property. We might be, you know,
harvested.
You got to look at the big picture. Is that what's happening right now is everyone believes something different about God, and we're all killing each other over it, and we all have advanced weaponry based off crashes that just happen to fall on our borders. And then while we're doing that, these things are zipping around and doing weird things with animals, doing weird things with people and abductions, and they're off, you know, trying to accomplish something. You know, you and I have had discussions about the pain and the anger and the emotional energy of all the war. Maybe there's something there that is something that they're interested in, the emotional side of things, and which is hard to think of, but it's still energy, you know.
I can hear people sort of gnashing their teeth and thinking, well, this can't be true, therefore it isn't, which is sort of the same approach a lot of people have taken to UFOs in general. I don't think it's true, therefore I'm not going to give it any thought, and it can't be true, and so I've made up my mind. I get the feeling you're going to run into a lot of that.
You might, you know, or I might. But I'm not stupid. You know, I didn't walk off a gigantic rock and roll stage that was really easy living to jump into something that's very dangerous, deals with national security, and meet with a bunch of people in very clandestine ways to write a bunch of very expensive, labor-intensive books and make a bunch of risky movies with a bunch of people in Hollywood that are frankly sometimes hard to get along with because it's a different culture than I'm used to. I didn't do all of that because I'm dumb. You know, I didn't do all of it for fame. And so people have to realize that, you know, and I think a lot of my fans know this stuff. They know that when I'm into something, I jump in head first, you know, and I go all the way with it. This is gotta be the most important thing I've ever done. And if it works the way that I think it can work, it could be paradigm shifting. You know, I was talking to someone the other day whom you connected me with about creating a user-generated way to ask my advisors questions from the people who so badly want answers that have been studying this stuff for decades like myself. I've asked some very, very big questions, but I think getting people involved and pushing questions my way to get some answers, I think would be really, really cool. And I'm looking forward to that.
I think we're going to open up the phone lines in the next hour, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the nature of secrecy. And I don't know how far you're willing to go on that, but you'd agree with, we got like a minute before the break, but you'd agree that some of the things that are kept secret should not be kept secret. There are no legitimate reasons for it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely think that. I was told that in the White House, they would stamp, this is actually in John Podesta's interview, he says, we would stamp things top secret just to make sure someone read it, you know, because people were so inundated with documents that even in the White House, they would say, just put top secret on it, then it'll make sure everyone will read that memo, you know. So there's a lot of things that don't need to be secret. When Hillary Clinton was on Jimmy Kimmel the other night saying, hey, let's release all these UFO files except for the ones that have national security implications, well, you know, it's going to be hard. There's going to be a lot of UFO stuff that they can't release because, like I said, it's an act of war. You know, it is. It is a war. And it gets hot at times, and it's something they're dealing with every single day. You know, I was told there's a very interesting story. About 36 months ago, I mean, we're
hold on, hold on. That's a really good one. We're going to Jimi Hendrix taking us into the break. And when we come back on the other side, going to tell us a story about something very dramatic that happened 36 months ago. Talk with Tom DeLonge. We'll be opening up the phone lines in a bit, and you can ask questions and make comments as well. Stay with us.